stand with us as we begin this morning. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning here on Memorial Day weekend, a weekend that we remember those who paid the ultimate price for the freedoms that we enjoy. How many of you had a loved one, a great grandfather or somebody or great uncle or a relative or grandfather that fought and died in the military? Different ones, all right. Several people do. And we honor them today on this weekend. But we're so glad to have you here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray for our service. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We pray, God, that you would just meet with us in a special way, Lord, on this Memorial Day Sunday, a Sunday and a time that we remember those who gave their lives for the freedoms we enjoy. Lord, we just pray your anointing upon the message and upon the worship, upon every part of the service this morning. We just pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would move move in this place, that you would touch hearts and lives, and that you would minister to each one. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. We're going to tune into a video about Memorial Day.
On this day, we remember. We remember your calling. We remember your courage. We remember your sacrifice. We remember your life. We remember what it cost you to pledge your allegiance to your country. Because of you, we can walk in liberty. Because of you, we can sleep in peace. Because of you, the flag is still there. Because of you, this is the land of the free. Because of you, this is the home of the brave. To the families and friends of the heroes we've lost, we salute you.
We just want to honor all of our veterans. As Pastor said a few moments ago, want to honor those who paid the price. Freedom isn't free. Amen? Amen. And so this memorial weekend, when you're out cooking out with friends or hanging out or whatever you're going to be doing, social distancing, of course, want us to remember the price that was paid by veterans who aren't here with us now, but paid the price so that we could be here. And for those of you who have family and friends who have paid that price, we want to say thank you. Thank you. We remember those who you know so dearly and who have paid that price. So, so good. So good to be with you today. And I hope that this week has been a week of kind of just coming out and emerging and getting back to the routine. How many of you are kind of getting back to some routine? Anybody? How many of you are still right where you were? All right. All right. Some of you. All right. That's okay. That's okay. They opened up restaurants to eat. And that's kind of true. It's kind of true because every restaurant has their own rule. All right, so we went to a restaurant the other day with a group, and they said, it was 10 of us. They said, we can only fit 15 people in this whole restaurant. You are not coming in here. I'm like, okay, you know. And then we went to another one. They said, we only go up to six people. And then we went to another one. They said, you need a reservation before you come. So, figured that out. I went outside, stood in front door, called, made a reservation. They asked me when I needed it. I said, as soon as possible. And then I walked back in, and they seated me. No joke. No lie. That's exactly what happened. So I can play the game. I can play the game. All right. All right. But anyway, we're glad to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us, if this is your first time here, or maybe it's your second time here, or maybe you've been worshiping with us online, and now you've come in to hang out with us, we say thank you. Thank you for coming to worship with us. So good to see so many familiar smiling faces also. And you know what? The Lord is good, isn't he? The Lord is good. And I've thought many times throughout this this pandemic, I've thought, what are people doing that don't have a relationship with the Lord? You know, when the fear begins to creep in or the uncertainty begins to creep in, I don't know about you, but I turn to the Lord and I say, Lord, I don't know what all's happening and I don't know exactly what to do, but I know that you do and you have a plan. And so we have a few announcements for you this morning. And the first being that youth camp is still happening. And so if you have a young person that wants to go to youth camp, we still have some space and you just need to come see me and I'll give you all the information about that. But it is July 5th through the 8th. And so those are the dates on it. You can come see me about that. Also, our mission trip is still happening. We leave on July 11th. And so if you have a young person that's signed up for that or has been part of our team, we're going to continue to move forward. And if you need more information about that, come see me. And our Easter egg hunt, you guys thought that we were going to miss it, but we're not, all right? June 27th, June 27th, it's the last Saturday of June, we are going to do our Easter egg hunt. We're still going to do the outreach to the community. We're still going to put the eggs out. We're still going to give the bikes away. We're still going to have the prize eggs. We're going to do all of that. And you know what else we're going to do? We're still going to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who come. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. And so here's the deal. Here's what you can do for me and for us is Pastor Chad and Miss Amanda, who are our children's pastors, they have put a sign up out in the foyer, and you can go right out there and sign up, say, I'd be willing to help. We'll need help on that day from 10:30 to 12:30. So you're committing to a couple hours of volunteering to spread eggs, to help greet the kids as they come in, help with our games and different things like that, register and whatever else we've got going on. And we'll put you in a position to just be the face of Jesus to our community. And so if you can help us on that Saturday, please sign up. And we would love for you to be a part of that. Senior Sunday. Senior Sunday happens the 14th, which is just 3 weeks from now. And so if you have a senior and you have not talked to me or got the information from me, come see me right after church, and I'll get you hooked up with that. We want to honor our seniors and do that. So we want you to make sure that you get with us so that we can get you all the information for that. All right, so we've got lots of things happening. Lots of things. Our service schedule is this, just to remind you. Our service schedule is this next week is our fifth Sunday. Everybody will be together. We won't have children's church, but we'll still have nursery. We won't have children's church. And all adults and kids will be in here next Sunday. And then on June 7th, we open back up to Sunday school and Sunday morning service and all this stuff. And I don't know. We're going to have coffee, Pastor? Are we going to have coffee? I'm putting him right on the spot. This is serious. June 7th, will there be coffee? Yes, we will have coffee. So come on. Can we get a hand for coffee? Come on now. Come on. So June 7th, we'll be kind of opening back up a little bit more stuff. So stick with us. We came last week. You're here this week. Next week, same kind of schedule. And then June 7th, we'll kind of open things back up. So I'm just so happy to be here today. We have a tithe and offering, and at least for today and for the next Sunday, we will still not be passing the plate. So you'll see right in the back there is a box that says tithe and offering. It's a locked box, and so you can put your tithe and offering right in there. Of course, you can always give online like many of you have been doing, or you can bring it by the church office. Any of those things will work. But I still want, even though we have the box back there, I still want to pray over the tithe and offerings. That sound good? So let's do this. Would you stand? Because we're going to go right back into worship. I'm going to pray over the tithe and offering, and then we're going to go right back to praising God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings you poured out upon us. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of health. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of a sound mind. The word of the God, the word of the Lord says, you did not give us a spirit of fear. No, that's of the world, but that you give us a sound mind. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for the blessing of community and family, people to check on one another during this time. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing, Lord, of a place to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of just friends and family. But Lord, we also thank you for the blessing of finance. Lord, we worship you through our giving. We worship you, and we honor you in obedience by giving of the tithe and the offering. Lord, not because we just need the money. Lord, you don't need it. But Lord, at the same time, Lord, you use it to further the gospel. And so, Lord, we praise you and we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, that what was given will be done in obedience and worship. And because of that, it'll be multiplied so that others will come to know you. And we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad the Lord has promised to be with us through everything, through it all, through it all. This is one of my favorite worship songs. And just worship along and give praise to God as we sing it this morning. You are forever in my life. You see me through the season. Cover me with your hand and lead me in your righteousness, and I look to you. Hallelujah. And I wait on you. sing to you, Lord, a hymn of love for your faithfulness to me. I'm carried in everlasting arms. You'll never let me go through it all. For you are forever in my life, and you see me through the season. Thank you, God, that you are with us. Hallelujah. Lord, you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship. We thank you, Jesus, for the promise you have of your faithfulness, of your grace and your goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name, worthy is your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Now my shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on and on, and I will sing of your goodness forever. Exalt you, Lord, today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing this part. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. Give the Lord praise. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you today. We magnify you, Lord, today. Worthy, worthy, worthy is your name, Lord. We give you praise and glory and honor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies that are new every morning. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your faithfulness that reaches to the skies. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Worthy, worthy is your name. Hallelujah. Let's sing that again. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. One more time. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. praise. Worthy is your name. Jesus, 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 worthy is your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me mention some prayer needs this morning. Congratulations to Kelvin and Deborah Winter. They had a little grandson born on the 21st. 7 pounds, 15 ounces, 19 and a half inches long, named Denver Kale Houck. Denver. Give a hand for little Denver today. Hallelujah. Continue praying for Denver and Mom and Dad, Aaron and Dustin. Oliver Grider's memorial service will be Tuesday at the Church of Christ at 2 o'clock. Continue to pray for their family. Sharon Graham's mother, Dolores Jones, needs a healing in her body. Lee Francher needs healing for his heart. David Harrison is needing the Lord to touch him. He's having some issues with his heart as well. Shirley Grindstaff is having surgery coming up. We want to pray for her. And then Pastor Chad and Amanda will be having twin girls this week on Wednesday, if not before. So we want to pray for them. Yes. So we pray for that all to go well. Join me in praying for these needs this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to take these needs and testimonies to you and share with our congregation. We pray, Father God, for little Denver as he was born this week to can grow up and be strong and healthy. We pray for Mom Erin to be healed up and for Dustin, Lord, and Aaron and their little one to be blessed. We pray for the Grider family. We just pray for Geneva and for the other members of their family that you would be with them in the memorial service for him. Lord, we just pray for Dolores Jones that you would just touch her and minister to her. We pray for Lee Francher. We pray for David Harrison. Touch these men today. Touch Shirley as she's facing surgery, Lord. We pray you just touch and minister to her. And we do pray for Chad and Amanda as they are blessed with twin girls to be born this week. We pray that you just keep your hand upon Amanda and upon these two little girls right now. Bring them safely into the world, we pray, and just let everything go well. Father God, we continue to pray for our nation. We pray, Father God, for our president, our governor, and other leaders. We pray for an end to this virus. We pray, Father God, for you would just move across our land. And Lord, those that are exploiting this virus for political gain, I pray, Father God, that you expose that and that you bring that to a close. We pray, Father God, for leaders that are doing an injustice to the freedoms of our country. We just pray, Lord, that you would just let righteousness prevail. We do pray for Israel. We pray, Father God, for the blessing of your people there in Israel. And we just pray for your church. We pray, Father God, that you would just move in a mighty way in your church. We thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to be here and worship you and hear from the Word of God today. We just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. As Pastor Phil said earlier, we're so glad that you're here today, and it's so good to be back here in the house of the Lord after having been basically just a few here for the last few Sundays. And as I mentioned last Sunday, it's not real fun to preach to puppets, and so they just don't stand up very well. But anyway, it's so good to welcome Pastor Phil, our associate pastor. He's going to come and share the word today. We appreciate him and his family. It's his son Braylon's birthday, 16. Woo! All right, 16 years old today. Pastor Phil, come and share your heart. We appreciate you and your family. God bless you.
Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I wanted to do a couple of things that I forgot to do earlier. One, Kathleen Quinn called me and said she'd love to be here with us today, but her back is hurting her. So if you would just add her to your prayer time, that they'd be able to figure out what's going on with her back and that the pain would subside. And then one other announcement that I totally forgot, which is this. I mentioned the missions trip, which, by the way, I've already been corrected by a message, was not on the 11th, it's on the 13th. You have to forgive me. There's a lot of dates flowing around in this brain. We're leaving on the 13th of July for Denver. But one of our major fundraisers for that is the garage sale. And we're still going to move forward through our garage sale on June 5th and 6th. It's the first Friday and Saturday of June. And so if you have things you'd like to donate to help us, some of you have told me you've been collecting stuff, you can bring it anytime. You can bring it. Some may have brought it today. You can bring it. We're in the office. We won't be tomorrow because it's Memorial Day, but we'll be in the office during regular office hours throughout the week, this week and next. And we'll put it in the zone room, and then we disperse it from there. And so we appreciate anything you have to donate. And it is our major fundraiser. I don't know how we're going to do without Rose Rock because it's being postponed again. But last year, we made about $3,000. And so how many of you know $3,000 is a worthy endeavor? All right, so it's a lot of work. And every year at the end, I go, nope, never going to do that again. And then every year I go, hey, all right, time for garage sale. Because I forgot. And so, or at least I forgot most of the pain. I still remember a little bit of it. So, man, I don't know about you, but I try my very best to look at the positives of everything that's happening in life. And one of the positives that's come out of this pandemic is, and I don't know if you found yourself doing this, but I've been able to watch some of my fellow pastor friends and some of their services and their churches by going back online after our service or throughout the week, checking. And I've got to hear some of my friends I've never heard preach before preach. You know, we hang out together, we talk, and we do pastor things together, but I've never actually heard them preach. And I don't know about, how many of you have listened to another church's message? Is it Pastor Steve would be okay? Look, Pastor Steve did it too. All right. So, right. And I want to encourage you to make that a regular practice. You know, I think it's good to listen throughout the week, not just a message on Sunday, but one of the people I want to recommend to you is a guy by the name of Robert Morris. He's a pastor of Gateway Church in Texas. He is excellent. He's an excellent teacher. He'll get deep in the word and yet still make it so practical. And today, I've been listening to some of his stuff. Today, even part of what I'm going to share is from some of the things he shared in a teaching. And so part of it is straight out of my heart. Part of it is something that he encouraged me with when he was sharing. And so today I want to share with you a message called Created for More. How many believe we're created for more? Come on now. Come on. Pastor spoke last week a message entitled Because You Prayed. And really, there would be a second part to that, and it was Because You Prayed, He Answered. And I thought about talking about that He answered, and then this message came upon my heart. And so today, what I just want to do is I want to continue to encourage us when it comes to the idea of purpose. When it comes to the idea of purpose, everyone and everything needs a purpose. You know what we do with things that don't have a purpose? We throw them away, right? Have you ever been sorting through your garage or maybe a drawer or something else, and you went down through there and you thought to yourself, I have no idea what that even is for. Now, some of you have the spirit of hoarding, and so this is not you. You put it back. But for some of us, we go, I don't know what the purpose of that is. I've had it for 3 years in the same spot. It's taken up. It's out. It's out of here. It's out of here. Everyone and everything needs a purpose. And I would tell you that aside from fear, which the pandemic has done has been horrific in creating, besides fear, we're facing an equally deadly problem. And that is this, that the church must be careful not to lose or disconnect from its purpose. We've got to know what our purpose is, because our purpose is what drives us to be, and it drives us to want to do what God has for us to do. And so this morning, I want us to look at the Word of God and what it says about who we are and what is our purpose. What it says about our purpose, all right? And so we're going to, if you have your Bibles, how many of you brought what I like to call the old school Bible? There you go. Come on now. All right, print. There you go. You can just turn to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at some verses there to start in just a few moments. But the first thing I want to share with you is this, is that God is intentional. How many of you know we serve a God that's intentional? He has a reason and a rhyme and a reason for what he does. He's very intentional about the way he does things and why he does them that way. And we're going to look at that today. You have to understand in Genesis chapter 1, and even over the course of time, when God wants something, when God wanted something, he spoke what he wanted it to come from. Listen to me very carefully. When God wanted something, he didn't just speak it. He spoke about where he wanted it to come from. And even beyond that, what he wanted it to be sustained by. Okay? Because God doesn't just create, but he doesn't just create and go, huh? You know? We have people that believe that God created things and then said, best of luck. But that's not the way our God works. God creates things because he creates them and with the intention of how, where they should come from, how they'll be sustained, and where they'll return to. We're going to talk about that. You have to understand that in Genesis chapter 1, God created some things and he also made some things. He created some things and he made some things, and you're saying, well, that's basically the same thing. Well, today we're going to break that down just a little bit because there's nothing wrong with walking out of here and interchanging those words, but for today's discussion, for today's message, I want you to understand the difference, okay? And so God made, and here's the thing, God, a God of creation, made us to be creative. How many of you consider yourself to be creative? How many of you have zero ideas? You're like, I don't know. Somebody else, I will do it, but somebody's going to have to create it. All right? Okay. All right. God, I'm not saying that God didn't make us creative, but what I am telling you is that when we say that we create something, actually as humans, we make things. We don't create. And I'm going to explain to you the difference. You see, theologically, the definition of creation is this: to form something out of nothing. If you're going to create something, then you got to be able to form something out of nothing. You know where we see this? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. It's the first verse we're going to look at. God says in Genesis 1, 3, let there be light. Let there be light. And here's what it says. And there was light. Okay? Here's what we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. There was nothing. And then God created light. Are you with me today? Creation is forming something out of nothing. He created it. He created the light in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Now, the theological definition of to make is this. It is to form something out of something else. You see the difference? Creation is to form something out of nothing. To make something is to form something out of something else. That's what we do. That's what we do. If I were to go to one of your houses today and you said to me, hey, Pastor Phil, come check out my beautiful pottery. You'd come over here and you'd show me this beautiful vase that you created or made. And you would say, well, because that's the point. Yeah, I knew he was going to laugh at me about that. But and you say to yourself, I created this vase. Well, actually, you made it. You made it. Because you took clay and you formed that vase out of something. All right? God created things, but he also made things. And what he made those things from is very important to understand. And that's what I want to get to today, is what God made those things from. When God wanted something, he spoke what he wanted to come from, what he wanted to be sustained by, and what he wanted to return to. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, here's what the scripture says. It says, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to the various works. In another translation, it says, let the earth bring forth grass, plants, herbs, and trees. He did not say in this verse, let there be trees. Because he wasn't creating them out of nothing, he was making them. What he said was, He said he was forming them from the dirt. So let, he uses the word let the earth, and he's speaking to the earth. And he's saying, the dirt, out of this dirt, I'm going to make something. And I'm going to make the trees and the plants and the herbs and the grass, all right? God wants plants. Listen to this. God wanted plants to come from the dirt, to be sustained by the dirt, right? And eventually what happens? They return to the dirt. See the cycle there? All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. Stay with me. And it says, and God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly. But all right, let the water teem with living creatures. That's what I want to focus on. Here's the deal. The fish come out of the water. They're sustained. What happens if you take the fish out of the water? They're sustained by the water. Eventually, they disintegrate back into the water, all right? Some of you are thinking of your children who took a goldfish and held it up. Anybody ever ate a goldfish? I did one time as a fundraiser for missions. Thank you for honoring my commitment. It was alive. I should have killed it because it was still swimming inside. Anyway, that's okay. That's another story. Sorry. It's bad. It's bad. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. It says, and God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind. Let the land bring forth living creatures. All right? Animals then become sustained by the earth. And when they're done, they go back to the earth. The other day, Lance and myself and my boys, we were out hunting for mushrooms. And, you know, Lance is a little more even killed than Jeremy and I are. Jeremy and I are a little more excitable. I don't know if you know that. Shocker. All right, so Lance, most excited I've ever seen Lance ever in life right here is we found a deer shed. Here's the thing. That deer had been there a while. You know how I know? Because I could smell it before I saw it. When that deer died, it went back to the earth. It went back to the earth. When God wanted something, he spoke to what he wanted to come from or be made out of. So in Genesis chapter 1, this is the point I'm getting to here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, here's what the Bible says. As for you, then God said, let us make mankind in our image. Here's the difference. We talk about the plants, they came from the dirt. We talk about the animals, they came from the dirt. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God wanted man, he spoke to himself. When God wanted man, he didn't say, let the earth produce a man. He didn't say, let the waters produce a man. Here's what he said. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Let us. He's talking to himself. Let us. It means that we came from God. Listen to me. We came from God. Means that we were intended from the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, if this principle is good for animals, if this principle is good for plants, and it's good enough for man, that we came from God, it means we are to be sustained by God, and that the goal is that we would ultimately return to God. Come on, people. Come on. So, and some people say, wait, I thought God formed us from the dirt. No. He formed our earthly shell, our bodies, from the dirt. All right? And you know what? Our earthly shell will eventually return to the dirt, right? But our spirit came from God, is sustained by God, and is ultimately expected for that we return to God. Now, we came from God. The body came from dirt. That's why when we go to a graveside, we commit the body back to the ground. We don't commit the spirit. Spirit's God. We tell people all the time, we say, that's just a shell. That's just a body, right, Pastor? That ain't the part that was God inside of us, that was created from God, that came from God, returned to God. Now listen, my body, and here's the thing, my body is sustained by kind of fruits and vegetables, mostly ice cream. Things of this earth. Now listen, cows eat grass. They make milk. I've thought this out, people. I may have thought a little too much about this. Ice cream comes from milk. Therefore, ice cream's healthy. If you really think about it, I'm doing the thinking for you. If you really think about it, Mom, ice cream is just processed salad. That's all it is. It's just processed salad. So it's just coming at the end, the best part. I let the cows eat the vegetables and I get the ice cream. This is a great deal. We are created for more. We're created for more. Everything else will return to the dirt, but we are made to return to God. Everything else, he says, you know what? I want to build it. I want to make, you know, here we go. We're going to make it, and it's great. We're going to populate the earth. We're going to have birds in the air. We're going to have fish in the sea. We're going to have all that. But when that's all done, it can return to the dirt, but not this. Not mankind, not you and me. God said, I'm going to make them out of me. You're going to come from us. And here's what's going to happen. We're going to sustain them so that they can return to me. Everything else away. Here's the thing I need you to understand is that we were created, and this is where we're coming around to purpose, for an eternal purpose. What would happen if the, well, think about this. What would happen if the plant said to the dirt today, plant just said, you know what? I'm pulling out. I'm going to make it on my own. How's that going to work? I'm pulling out. That's it. What would happen? I'm visualizing, many of you moms have been blessed with that moment when your kids came to give you what is quote unquote flowers. You know, they went outside and they were playing in the yard, and maybe you were working in the kitchen or you're in the living room or whatever, and all of a sudden they come bouncing in with this big smile on their face. They're hiding something behind their back. Mom, I've got you something. And they reveal that they have picked you flowers. The flowers they reveal to you, obviously, normally, because it wouldn't be appropriate for it to be any other way, are the ones that you've been carefully cultivating in your flower bed for months. And in that moment, here's what's happened. In that moment, while they gave you a gift, they gave those flowers a death sentence. Right? It's over. Once the flower gets disconnected from the dirt, the sustaining source. And man says to God, this is what man said to God in the Garden of Eden. I'm pulling out. I'm going to do it on my own. I got this. I don't need you. I'm just going to pull out. And here's what God said. God warned Adam. He said, the day you do, you will surely die. The day the kid pulled out those flowers and presented to mom, a great gift, but they were dead. That was it for them. The Bible says the day we pull out from God, our sustaining source, is the day the Bible says that he looked at man and said, the day you do, you will surely die. Our bodies didn't die because our bodies came from earth. I have no idea what that means. You ever written some of your notes, you have no idea what that meant? I don't know. Just, we're going to pull that out. Thank you. God said to Adam and Eve, if you eat the fruit, you will die. Not their bodies, though. Not their bodies. He's talking about their spirit. Now, We could go a little further in that discussion and say because their spirit died, because they pulled away from God, that they ultimately probably accelerate the death of their body too. They went to hard labor, right? Pain in childbirth. And who's to say that if Adam and Eve had not pulled out from God, if death was ever on the table, because relationship with God would have been intact. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says this. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions in sin. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. You see, there's people walking around, and in body they're alive. Your neighbor, your whoever they're walking around, your co-worker, they're alive. But in spirit, they're dead. As far as the coroner goes, They're alive. But as far as the intent and the purpose of what God created them for, they're dead. They're disconnected from the one from which they came. John 10:10 says this. It says that he came to give us life, and he came to give it to us more abundantly. Or I came to give that you may have life and have it to the full. And here's the thing. A lot of times, and there's nothing wrong with this, but a lot of times we get stuck on the part that talks about he gave it more abundantly. He gave it to the fullness. But what I want you to focus on is this. Jesus came that we may have life. Here's what you need to understand. We are not even alive without him. We're just dead, walking around. So here's the point. We're from God. He made us from him, and he made us for a purpose, and he created us for more. God is an intentional God, and God is clear. God is clear about our purpose, and I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes. God is intentional in how he created us, and he's clear in what he wants us to do. The first thing is this. God is clear that he does not want us to conform. Do not conform. Romans 12:2 says this. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many of you have a TV? How many have a washing machine? Come on now, people. How many have a washing machine? All right, there we go. Sorry. How many have a vacuum cleaner? Come on. Yes. How many of you men have not touched it? Come on, confess right now. Dumb season. All right. How many of you, there's been somewhere along the way where that just went kapoo? You know, you went to one day to turn the TV on and it just didn't come on. And you're back there plugging it in, unplug it, resetting it. Or maybe you went to do a load of laundry and it just stopped going. Or you threw it in the dryer and it was as wet as when you put it in an hour ago. Or the vacuum cleaner, you're like, one of the kids has ran over something and has burnt this motor up. Whatever it is, we all know that when we buy things that we anticipate at some point they're not going to work. And we say this, are you ready? How many of us have said this saying right here? I think it's to make ourselves feel better that we're about to have to buy a new one. We say, well, it's served its purpose. You know what I'm saying? Well, it served us. I mean, we've had that washing machine 15 years. I mean, we've had that TV, you know, 7 years. And the kids use it as a WWE mat that 1 year, so I'm surprised it made it this long, you know. We've all said that. It served its purpose. It's funny because the manufacturer, we know that they build the machines with the intention that it's only going to work for a set amount of time. They have in their mind, they may not be honest about it, but they have in their mind, Ralph, they know how long that vacuum is supposed to last. I'll tell you what it is. You ready? This is what the date's set on. 1 day past warranty. So if you want to know how long they have built that to last, if your warranty's for a year, it's about 13, 14 months, all right? If your warranty's 5 years, they think this thing could last 6 at best. All right, because they want to get it out of warranty, all right? But they create with that intention. No, nobody goes, man, I'll tell you what, because that's bad business. If I build you a TV that never goes out, you're not going to buy another TV. If I build you a washing machine that never goes out, you're never going to buy another washing machine, all right? I need it to die so that you can, all right, here we go. But God created us intending what we will work with will be eternity in mind. He intended for us to work with eternity in mind. He never said, you know what? I'm gonna create Sheila over here, and you know, 30 years is good. 40 years is good. Whatever. You know what? 60 years. Sorry, Pastor. It's 58 in case you didn't know. God didn't create us with a short timeline. He created us with eternity, because remember, our purpose is eternal. And so here's what I want to challenge you with is we must not conform our eternal purpose to a temporal world. See, this world has a different mindset. We have two different visions happening here. We got a world that's working on just a small timeline, and we got a God who created us for an eternal timeline. Our purpose is eternal. And so God challenges us to preach and to teach and to lead and to pray and to give and to listen and to hug and to forgive and to love and to encourage and do all these things. And it's just perpetuates all the time, looking for opportunity, knowing that we're not trying to just get by. If I just fix this, I can maybe get a couple more months out of it. All right. We're not trying to create a purpose or a life for God where we're just trying to get a couple more months out. No, we know that what we do is going to matter a lot longer than a couple of months. It's an eternal thing. Here's the difference. The world says, because of their mindset, let's just shut it all down. God says, we've only just begun. The world comes up against a problem, says, well, I mean, we just got this much time left anyway, and we did demographics, and I did, you know, a bar chart, and there was a graph, and then, you know, and then you get the vaccine, and then, you know, whatever, and they go, well, let's just shut it down, because we're not, whereas we're looking, and we're going, listen, now, I'm not saying don't be smart. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we understand that God's plan is far beyond this world. God's plan is far beyond the next few moments. God's plan's eternal. And so, yeah, go into your house, but create an opportunity to continue to work even while you're at your house. Continue to preach and to teach and to love. And we're going to talk about that some more in a minute. The world says shut it all down. God says, we've only just begun. The second thing is this: not only do not conform, but God's clear that we must take action. Take action. James 1:22, popular verse, you know, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do not just listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. Last week, Pastor encouraged us that if we would pray, God would answer. How many of you believe that? If we pray, God will answer. You ready for this? So too, if God speaks to us, we must take action. We like a lot better, if we're honest, we like a lot better that we say, hey, God, I need this. God, would you heal this person? God, and God takes action. We go, man, that worked out perfect. That was really good. But man, it's tough sometimes when God challenges us to do something, and then it's our turn to take action. To take action. I was thinking of this scenario. Could you imagine a military general today calls all the men together and he says, all right, men, we've got a mission. We got a mission. Here's what we do. And so he pulls them all together. He lays out the plan on the board. He said, listen, here we go. We're gonna attack this way and we're gonna that way. And then you guys are gonna hold back here until we need the second troops to come through. And this way, and they're not even gonna know we're coming. And they do the whole plan on the board. And he said, okay, now listen, not only that, but I'm gonna give you the equipment. All right. So I'm gonna give you the tanks, I'm gonna give you the helicopters and the planes, and here's the guns and the bombs and all that stuff, and here's the walkie-talk, whatever. The receivers, and I'm gonna give you all the equipment, all right? And then after the plan and the equipment, and everything, he says, all right, charge forward. Could you imagine if all those men just said, okay, and went back to their bunk and went to bed? Like, here's the general, man. He has thought it through. He's got the plan. He says, this is what's gonna happen. And I've got the plan. I'm giving you the equipment. Now let's go do it. And they're like, all right. And then they just go to bed. That's not gonna be very effective now, is it? That's not going to work very good. I'm afraid that the church, I'm talking about the church as a whole, I'm not talking about just Noble Assembly, I'm talking about the whole church. I'm afraid that the church of Jesus Christ has fallen asleep. I'm afraid that maybe we quit praying, maybe we quit reading, but mostly I'm afraid maybe we've lost purpose. Maybe in all this craziness of hearing this and that and what could happen and politics and all that, we forgot that all of that is temporal and that we were created for an eternal purpose. God's word is full of marching orders. God's word is full of marching orders. How about this one? Love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor. So God says, you said, listen, love your neighbor. He says, listen, you've got that lady that's across the street, and she just lost her husband, and she's single mom now with kids. And you know what? Here's the deal. I'm going to give you the equipment. You're going to have some money that you didn't see coming. It was going to be a refund that you didn't know was coming in the mail. And I'm going to give you that money so that you can go and buy her groceries, and you're going to be able to bless her and minister to her. And so he tells us what to do. He gives us the plan. He provides. We got to do it. We got to take action. The Bible says to forgive others' debts. All right. So he says, you know, listen, you know, I know you've been in conflict with that relative, and I know things are going tough, and I know you haven't been talking, but listen, I've been working on him. I've been working on her, and her heart's open right now. Her heart's open right now, and I'm gonna provide to you. I'm not just telling you what to do, but I'm gonna provide to you as God. I'm gonna provide to you wisdom of what to say and when to go, and know, and I'm gonna help you to reconcile that. But guess what? You got to march forward and do it. The Bible tells us to preach the gospel. And so this is my favorite one. All right, and we preach the gospel. The Bible tells us to preach the gospel. He said, you know what's going to happen? You don't even know. All right, but there's going to be a pandemic in your country, and everything's going to get shut down. And guess what? Now, those people who wouldn't listen are going to listen because they're in their house. There's nothing else they can do. And they're going to, and remember social media? Oh, man, you've been pulling your hair out because you got that one cousin who, if you see one more picture of her dog on Facebook, you are unfollowing her. I know that the spirit of anger has come up, but guess what? They didn't know. They didn't know what I knew, which was that as God, that the pandemic was going to happen, and that social media that used to be about painting, showing pictures and showing your dog and emotions and selfies and everything. Okay, well, listen, it's going to be there for you to be able to present the gospel, and you're going to be able to share devotion, and you're going to be able to share your thoughts, and you're going to be able to show people who want to know what's the big deal about going to church, what's the big deal about knowing Jesus, that they'll be able to see the peace inside of you. But you know what? You still got to get out and do it. Come on now. The Bible says to rescue the widow and the orphan. And so God says, listen, we're going to provide for you. Listen, we just got a call the other day. We got a call the other day from another church that says, listen, I'm getting a semi-truck full of food. And so on June 11th, our church, I'm going to go pick up a bunch of food. Then I'm going to ask you guys to help me on the 12th to sort it. And on the 13th, as the hands of Jesus to our community, we're going to hand out free food. All right, we're just going to give free food out to people. They're going to be able to pull right underneath our awning here. We'll be able to hand them the food and tell them we love you, we care about you, we know that God knows right where you're at. He knows your name, and we don't want anything from you except to tell you that. All right? And so, listen, God will give us the equipment. He'll give us the marching orders, but we still got to move forward with it. God tells us to pray for those who persecute us. God says, listen, I know there's people that have come against you, maybe because you're a Christian, maybe because of what you believe, maybe because you stood up for something, they didn't like it or whatever, but you know what? I'm going to let you see. I'm going to open your eyes, and I'm going to give you the ability to see what they've gone through. And I'm going to begin to let you see why their heart is breaking in the midst of that. I want you to see not your side of the box, but their side of the box, because I'm going to equip you to be able to minister to them, and so that you won't be like, oh, they're so mean to me, but instead you'll have a heart of prayer knowing where they come from, because this is not about a temporal issue. This isn't about, oh, somebody doesn't like me. This is about a soul that is something standing in the way between them and Jesus, and it may just be you praying for them. Come on now, come on. Every day, and I mean every day, God places before us opportunities to take action to what He has called us to do. We get purpose because we take action and we seize it. We take action and we seize it. The third thing I want to share with you this morning is this. God's clear in that He tells us to remember the price. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day in which we'll honor those who gave their lives for our freedom here in America. And each and every one of those men and women paid the ultimate price of their life. And they are more than deserving of a day like Memorial Day. I think all of us should take a moment tomorrow and pray for families who have lost loved ones in armed forces. And thank the Lord that He sent men and women who would pay that price for our freedom. One day, honestly, isn't sufficient. But I want us also to remember that we have purpose because Jesus paid the price for that purpose. We have purpose because Jesus paid the price for that purpose. In John 3, 16 and 17, it says, "For God so loved the world," I'm not going to probably do it in the NIV, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent his Son," God sent his Son into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I think 17 is just as important as 16 because he didn't come to go, "Hey, look what I did." He didn't come because he said, "You got to earn it." The Bible says he didn't come to condemn. He just came to save. Have we forgotten that the plan of God, which is the salvation of mankind, is bigger than a pandemic? Disease, my friends, disease will not stop the purpose of God. Famine. Listen, you go to the store right now, and I don't know if those are golden calves they're selling or what, but that meat is expensive right now, all right? Famine, though, the lack of things will not stop the purpose of God. Wars and rumors of wars, and we've had wars, will not stop the plan and the purpose of God. When Jesus laid upon the cross, he said these words, "It is finished." And in that moment, no matter what the devil could whip up, no matter what man could scheme with, that nothing was going to derail the plan of God. He said, "It's finished." It's like mom and dad when you're arguing, they go, "No, that's it. We're done. End of discussion. It's over. It's finished." God, our Father, said, "It is finished." And in that moment, no longer was mankind separated from him. I love the way it's said in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demon, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, including a pandemic, neither heights nor depths, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ our Lord." It's finished. It's finished, and we've got to quit with our purpose, worrying about temporal things and that they're going to derail an eternal purpose that God has. His purpose lives in us. Remember, the price has been paid. All other attempts to squash our purpose are useless. Nothing trumps the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. We honor those who freed our country. May we even more honor the one who freed all of mankind. Don, if you're here, would you come to the piano for me as I close? Thank you. I thank the Lord that he didn't just create us and then say, "You know what? Good luck." He didn't just make us out of himself and just say, "Good luck." But he made us to come from him, to be sustained by him through the course of our time here on earth. And when our time is done, because we are the children of God, we are assured this promise that we, my friends, will return to him. We won't go to the dirt. Our body will. You know why? I'm glad our body goes to the dirt. All right? Listen to me. I'm glad. Here's the reason. There ain't not one person in this room that can say there ain't something they don't like about that body. All right? You're like, "You know what? The dirt can have it. The dirt can have it." Because Jesus says he's going to give us a new body. Right? Ain't going to be no pain. Kathleen Klein, who we talked about earlier, she don't have to worry about her back hurting. Those of you that are on the prayer list, those of you who have people that are on the prayer list, those of you who have, some of you I've talked to that have family members, whether in hospice or healthcare or undergoing chemotherapy or whatever it may be, they're not going to worry about any of that. Because all that stuff, all the people who are at Norman Regional right now getting treatment, that's for the body. That ain't for the spirit. That's for a temporal issue. That's for a short time. That's all going to the dirt, but the spirit, which came from God, which is sustained by God, will return to God. And if that don't give you purpose, I don't know what will. God is intentional. He made all the things from the dirt except us. He made us from Him, and He made us to be sustained by Him, and He made us to someday return to Him. The question remains this. This is what I ask you today. Will we be people of purpose when we return to Him? When we're going to return to Him, we're going to stand before Him. All of us are going to stand before Him. When we return to Him, will we be people of purpose? Will we be people unconformed by the world that we lived in? Will we be people who took action? Will He look at us? This is what the scripture says. He says, well done, that good and faithful servant. You know what He's saying? In 2020, Pastor Phil language, you took action. I gave you the marching orders. I told you the plan. I gave you the equipment, and you did it. Well done, that good and faithful servant. Will we be people who remembered the price? Remembered that what bought our purpose can't be overcome, can't be squashed, it can't be taken away. It's for ours for eternity if we'll accept Him and live for Him. You and I, we were made with a purpose. We were created for more than everything else that's ever been made or created. My prayer is that we will take hold of all that we were created for and made of and live with purpose. Would you bow your heads this morning? Lord, I thank You for every person in this place. I pray, Lord, that Your word has gone forth. I pray, Lord, that it has encouraged hearts. I pray, Lord, that it has built up faith. I pray, Lord, that it has emphasized purpose in our life like never before. And may we not conform to the world. May we take action. May we remember the price. Lord, You are so intentional. May we be intentional in all that we do. If you're in this place this morning, if you're in this place this morning and you need to give your heart to Jesus, you've been listening to me talk about the price that Jesus paid, and you need to receive Him into your heart. We don't want to leave this place without giving someone the opportunity to do that. Would you just simply raise your hand this morning and say, you know what, I acknowledge with the raising of my hand that I need to receive Jesus as my personal Lord Savior today. I want to live for Him. I want to have purpose. I want to be alive and not dead within this body. If that's you this morning, would you just simply raise your hand? Amen. Amen. I see that hand today. I see those hands. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Second thing I want to ask is this. Maybe some of you've been living for God for a few months or for many, many years, but you know what? You said, you know what? I've allowed the temporal things of this world to squash down the eternal purpose God created me for. And today, as the Lord spoke and as the word was brought forth, you were energized. You said, you know what? I want to do more. I don't want to conform. I want to take action, and I want to remember the price. If that's you today, would you simply raise your hand and commit to the Lord? I'm going to do better in the purpose You've created for me. I'm going to preach. I'm going to teach. I'm going to love. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to spread joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. The fruits of the Spirit are going to flow out of me. If that's you today, would you raise your hand and just say, I commit to that. Amen. Amen. Would you just repeat after me? Whether you raise your hand or not, would you repeat after me? As we do this in solidarity together, to say, dear Jesus, I give my heart to You and I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I ask You to come into my heart because I was made for a purpose. And because of that purpose, I'm going to do better. I'm not going to conform. I'm going to take action. And I'm going to remember the price. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand as we end this service. Pastor Steve and the worship team is going to lead us in a song. I love you. Thank you so much for letting me share the word today. And I challenge you to live with purpose. Amen.
Hold my every moment. calm my raging sea. You walk with me through the fire. Heal all my disease. I trust in you. I trust in you. Aren't you glad he's your healer today? Father God, we just love you, Lord, today. We just thank you, Lord, for the wonderful message this morning by Pastor Phil. We thank you, Father God, for challenging us, Lord, to take action, to fulfill our God-given purpose. We pray, God, that as we go into our world this week, Lord, that you would just challenge us, motivate us, empower us through the Holy Spirit to be your hands extended, to be salt, to be light, to be the people you've created us to be. We love you and we praise you. We thank you for this morning's service. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with God.